Well, today I'm going to deal with us choosing to say yes to submission over control. Let me put it this way. I want to surrender to God everything that concerns my life, things I have control over, things I don't, and I want to give Him everything. Amen? So it's a message on surrender, and I pray it's a blessing to you. So how many would be honest and lift your hands and say, I am a control freak? This is much better than the last crowd. You're more honest. So really, how many would say, I'll admit I'm a control freak. Now, how many of you are sitting next to someone who didn't raise their hand and you want to raise it for them? Because you know they're a control freak. They're just not admitting it right now. Well, I think we all are control freaks in some areas of our lives. But what I want to encourage you to do today is to surrender all of this stuff to the Lord. Surrender it all to God and let Him take full control. So let's begin with Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Bible says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, and in all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Let Him guide your steps. Let Him direct your paths. In these verses, who's in control here? God is in control, not us. God is in control. If there's anyone in Scripture, I think, who messed up in this area, it would be Sarah and Abraham, or at the time, Sarai and Abram. And if you know the story, if you don't, go back and read it. It's powerful. Genesis chapter 14 and the surrounding chapters. What is happening is that Sarah could not have children, but God had promised Abraham that he would be the father of a great and mighty nation, and that through him, all the nations of the earth would be blessed. So, all right, they're waiting on a child. They're waiting on this promise to come to pass. And what happens? Year after year after year goes by, and Sarah never gets pregnant. Year after year continually goes by, and Sarah doesn't get pregnant. Well, I mean, where's the promise? Where's the prophetic fulfillment to this beautiful word? I mean, she gets her AARP card in the mail, and she's still not pregnant. Then it gets to the point of really impossibility. That now she says, I know it can't happen now. It's an impossibility now. And we come to chapter 14. So she decides to take matters into her own hands. Chapter 16, rather, of Genesis, Sarah, Abraham's wife, had borne him no children, and she had an Egyptian maidservant whose name was Hagar. So Sarah said to Abram, see now the Lord has restrained me from bearing children. Please go into my maid. Perhaps I shall obtain children by her. And Abram heeded the voice of Sarah, and Sarah, Abram's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, and he gave her to her husband Abram to be his wife. And after Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan, so he went into Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress became despised in her eyes. So what happens is Sarah has a maid, and she says, hey, Abraham, have a child with her. So what does Abraham do? He does it. They have a child. The child's name is Ishmael. All because Sarah took matters into her own hands. Now, what became of Ishmael? Ishmael and Isaac became competing foes, really. And if you look at the genealogical history of those two peoples, you know, some say, Muslims say, that Muhammad was a direct descendant of Ishmael. And we know that Jesus came from the line of Isaac. And we know that some of the Arab peoples came out of the line of Ishmael, and then the Jews came out of the line of Isaac. And there has been turmoil in the Middle East, all in the modern era at least. Isn't that amazing? So when we decide to take matters into our own hands, it can be a dangerous thing. When we don't wait on the Lord or don't surrender control to God, it can really be a dangerous thing. And you may be sitting there thinking, well, Pastor Hans, I understand that. That's a terrible example. I would never do anything like that. No, but maybe you're a single Christian girl in here this morning. And you've prayed for a single Christian guy. But he hasn't shown up yet, so you just went and found a guy. And you're saying, I'll make him what I want him to be. Just give me a few years. And all the older ladies in the church said, no way. Or maybe you're in a financial issue right now. You're having problems with finances. And the Bible says that we're to tithe. And out of tithing comes a blessing on our finances. Windows of heaven are open. And God rebukes the devourer for our sake. But you think you're wiser. So you've decided to take that matter into your own hands and take control of that whole situation because you can figure it out better than God can. Listen, I know I'm up in your grill right now, but hang on, it's going to get better. Maybe some of you are too controlling over your kids. As one man called it, maybe you're a helicopter parent. You're constantly flying around them, making every decision for them, doing all their homework for them, writing all their book reports for them, and nobody's going to help me in this Pentecostal church this morning. And they grow up and you wonder why they can't wash the dishes or cook a hamburger. All right, I'm going to go on to the next thing. So I'm going to ask three questions this morning to determine what we should control and what we should surrender. Three questions that help us determine what we should control and what we should surrender. The first thing is it worth my concern? Is it worth my concern? There are things that aren't worth your concern. There are things in your life that's not worth getting bent out of shape over. You just need to let it go. Look at your neighbor, and I give you permission this one time. Point your finger in their face and say, sometimes just let it go. You know, we're trying to always grow in leadership in the church here, and one thing I've learned is that one pastor, according to statistics, can pastor about 100 people effectively. And then after that, he has to delegate things out. And he has to major on what his strengths are and gather around him other strengths. Now, a lot of people don't understand that, and I've had to wrestle with that. But I realize the more I try to get in and control and micromanage everything, the more I mess things up. Maybe you're like that. Maybe you're trying to micromanage everyone around you. I mean, I asked the early crowd this. Is it really, are the towels being folded right? Really worth getting freaked out about? Are your tools being put back in the perfect place? Really worth losing your sanctification over? Will it matter 5 years from now? Will it matter 5 years from now? When I was doing this, I thought about my daughters. Of course, we've raised two daughters. They're awesome. They're in their 20s now. Both have graduated college. Hallelujah. Give it up for Alex, who graduated last week. And to all the college grads, I saw many of you guys graduating. Just proud of all everybody. Alex did such a great job. So we're so proud of them. But I thought about when they were little and they would dress up in the Disney princess dresses. And they had so many Barbie dolls. They had them all named. They all had histories. They all had marriage genealogies. They all had all that going on. And I'm always studying. I always have, and I always will. I'm studying all the time. So they would come and interrupt my study sometimes and be like, hey, Dad, could you perform a marriage? Two of our Barbies want to get married. And I'd say, well, okay, I'll do it. And I'd get up, and I'd bring my wedding manual. And I'd say, now, dearly beloved, we are gathered here today. And the girls would be like, get to the end. Come on. Get to the good part. And yes, they interrupted my time. And sometimes I'm in writing of papers. Or in my 30s when this was happening. I was teaching at two universities, had some papers published, doing a dissertation, all this kind of stuff. But as I think back at it, I'm glad they're grown. But I would love to have some of those times back. I'd love to hear once again my mother-in-law say, "Hans, they've baptized that Britney Spears doll. They baptized her in the bathtub and she came out singing, 'I'm trading my sorrows.'" True story. So some of you complain about the little fingerprints on the windows and the sliding glass door. But just remember, they're not always going to be there. Is it really worth you getting amped up about and ruining everyone else around you just for that? You know, it's like this. You can have, with your wife or in a relationship, you can have intimacy or you can have control, but it's hard to have both. Because if you have control, you kill intimacy often. And I'm talking to somebody in here. So just think about it. Some things you need to surrender and say, you know what? It's not my concern, man. Second question we need to ask is it mine to control? There are other things in life that are in our wheelhouse, so to speak, and we do have the authority and the need to get involved and exert control. Amen? I mean, if you have a financial issue, you have a responsibility to get involved, get with it, figure it out, work it out yourself, have a discussion with your spouse, get things straight. If you're having marriage problems, you have a responsibility to get with it, to talk, to see a counselor, to get prayer, to go to a pastor. I mean, you know, take some responsibility and exert some control because you need to do something about it. Something about it. If you're single and you're like wanting to get married and it's been years and you feel like Sarah, obey my wife's sermon that she preached a few months ago. Take a bath, brush your teeth, put deodorant on, stop playing Pokemon Go, and get out of the house, and don't be a hermit and look for somebody. All right. Some things you need to get involved in and say, yes, I need to take control in this certain situation. But the final question, and this is really where I want to land, is it for God alone? We need to ask this. Is this issue for God alone to deal with? And if it is, then here's the scripture we need, Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. There are some things in life that you need to take to the Lord and say, God, this area of my life, I completely surrender to you because it's too much for me to bear. And when you do that and surrender it, you have a promise that the peace of God will come on your life. And then the peace of God not only comes on your life, but in the original Greek text, it basically has this connotation. He will umpire your life. He stands behind home plate calling balls and strikes for you. He takes over and brings peace into your life if you will submit yourself to Him. Can somebody say amen? Amen. So prayer, say it with me, pray first. We insult God, I think, sometimes when we say, well, all that's left is just pray for it, I guess. I guess all we can do now is pray. Have you heard that before? I think when we say that, sometimes God must be in heaven like, wow, I'm the last shot, huh? When all else has failed, throw it over to me and see if a miracle can't be pulled out of the hat. No, I think prayer should be the first response. And we're carrying around stuff right now we don't need to be carrying around. We need to be submitting it to the feet of Jesus. He said, cast your cares on me, for I care for you. In the original Greek text, that means literally roll off your burdens onto me. So we're like Atlas the mythological figure carrying the world on our shoulders. And God is saying, roll it off on me. And so what we do sometimes is we come to church and maybe even come to the altar, have altar workers pray for us. We say, man, I'm carrying this load. Would you guys pray? And we pray in faith. And you're believing. And everybody, man, it's powerful. And you feel God. And then you turn around and you pick that thing back up again and put it on your shoulder and walk right back out of the church and get in the car and go home. No better than when you came in because you prayed in unbelief. I'm telling you, I started thinking about this in my own life. When I pray, am I praying just because I feel guilty and need to pray? Or am I praying just because I know I need to pray? Or am I really praying in faith? Am I praying and saying, God, now I believe what I'm praying. And I'm going to surrender this to you. I have a good friend right now. This is his story, and you just take it as that. A really good friend to me and Jackie right now. His wife has cancer. And he said they determined that they were just going to pray and believe God and receive no medical treatment. That's his decision. That's where their faith is. But he said, when we told our family this, they freaked out. And he said, yeah, what about the other family member that has cancer? Well, she's stage 4, so we got to pray for her. He said, hold on now. If you're stage 4, we got to pray for you, but we need to pray all the way through this thing. Now, again, that's their faith. I believe in medical doctors. They do too, but they just felt in this situation, this is how they needed to handle it. But I thought it was interesting how we do judge different levels of this thing. And sometimes I believe God works through medicine and in conjunction with medicine. Again, I'm not against that. This is just my friend's testimony. But it came apparent to me that sometimes we pray about things, but then we seek God's direction, and then we don't listen to what God says. Or we put things on the altar, and then we pick it back up. And then we say, God, deal with my husband. I can't deal with him anymore. I lay him on the altar to you. And then you're like, whoo, feel the Holy Ghost. Then you go home. Now listen, here's what you need to do. You need to do this, this. And you take back over the lordship throne. I'm going to have to go back here in the back room and preach this thing. Come on. We try to submit things to God, but then pick them back up and take control over it ourselves. God's saying, surrender it all. Lay it on the altar and let it go, man. Some of you trying to get a certain job, do your part, then surrender it to the Lord. Some of you are trying to get into a certain school, do your part, do the recommendations, do the exams, write, make out the application, and then surrender it to the Lord. And let God come in and take over and do what you can't do. And it's amazing what He will do when you surrender it all to Him. Somebody shout hallelujah. I mean, it's amazing what God will do when we give it to Him. My grandfather, you know, was a great Christian man on my mom's side, and they were praying people, so they had many grandkids and many kids, and at one point, my grandfather told us, he said, I laid all of you guys on the altar. And of course, I wasn't a Christian, and I'm thinking, what does it mean to be laid on the altar? But later, I figured it out. It meant that He had come, and He had surrendered us to the Lord. Now He still advised us, He still talked to us, He still loved us, but in the Spirit He gave us to Jesus. Not one of us were serving the Lord. After that time, my uncle starts going to church, mother uncle starts going to church, my aunt gets saved, I get saved, my mom gets saved, and God runs through that family and has complete revival in that family. Can somebody shout amen? Why? Because surrendering it to the Lord, letting God take control of things. Even in my own life, I pastored a church in Washington, D.C., as many of you know, spent about 10 years working on that thing, and then at some point we just felt it was over. My leadership team felt it was over. We closed the doors, locked it, and said goodbye and walked away. And I felt like a total death happened in my life. That I was like, can I even pass? I must be horrible at this. Can I even do this anymore? What am I going to do with my life, Lord? And then the pastor of this church, Pastor Mayer, called me and invited me down. And he said, "Hans, I've been praying about you, and I just see you before my face, you and Jackie, every time I pray. And I just think you should come down and talk to the leadership of this church, and maybe God is leading you this way." And I thought, well, that wasn't plan A. That wasn't in Hans's plan A. Then through circumstances, I became pastor of the church, and God started moving in powerful ways. I was so burnt, I said, all I want to do is preach, play a little guitar, and love people, and God, you got to give me the rest. The board even did their due diligence and asked me, said, "What's your vision?" I said, "I don't have a vision, but I'll come and pray, and we'll preach the word, and God will give us something." That's where I was in life. But then the church started growing and people started coming and people started being blessed. And then the general superintendent of our church calls me, Dr. Beecham. And he says, "Hey, Hans, I'm so glad you're in Elizabeth City. I love that church and I think you're just going to work well there and it's just going to be great." And he was just encouraging me. And I responded and I said, "Well, Dr. Beecham, this wasn't really plan A for my life. But it's amazing what God is doing here." And he said, "Hans, isn't it something how when we get our ego out of the way, how God can really move in our lives?" I'm going to say that again because somebody needs to hear that. It's amazing what God will do when we get our ego out of the way. Or let me put it this way. It's amazing what God will do when we surrender control. It's amazing what God will do when we surrender control. I'm going to preach to this side for a little while. It's amazing what God will do when we surrender control. Don't be like that. We sing, "I surrender all. I'm going to take all my burdens back home with me, Lord. I surrender all, except I'm going to tell my wife every decision to make and everything to do. I surrender all, yet I'm going to take over my workplace and I'm going to be like the person that micromanages everyone around me because if it ain't done my way, it's the highway." And it's quiet in this holiness church right now. Surrender it all. Surrender it all. Is it worth my concern? Is it mine to control? Or is this thing for God alone? Is it worth my concern? Is it mine to control? Or is this thing for God alone? Hallelujah. 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 Man, I tell you, this has been amazing. In the early service and even now, I know God's working on us and rewiring some things and challenging us and challenging me with this. Hallelujah. Come on. I want you to take this card out that you came in with. Take it out right now. And there's a note section on it. And I want you to write on it one thing that's been coming to your mind this whole time I've been preaching that you need to surrender control of. Maybe just one thing. One thing. It's your kids. It's the work situation. It's your finances that are out of control. You just get said, "God, I need your help right now. I need your help, God." And just write it down. Or maybe if you don't want to show your next door neighbor, maybe be like when you were in school, you know. Get that thing like this and just kind of. Hallelujah. Come on, now let's all stand and hold this to the Lord. Come on, everybody in here standing right now. Hold it up to the Lord. If you don't have that, just hold up a hand and you got something in mind. We're going to surrender this to the Lord right now. Maybe it's your kids, man. You've raised them right and you've done everything you know how and you advise them right and you pray for them. Right now, we're going to surrender them and let God move and let God take over. Hallelujah. 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 And come on, everybody praying. Father, in Jesus' name. Lord, we surrender this issue right now in our lives to you. And God, I cast my cares on you, for you care for me. And God, I lay it at your feet right now. And I say, Lord Jesus, you take control. You take the wheel. You take over. And you take this situation. And now I lay it down in Jesus' name. Now, okay, symbolically, lay it on your seat or lay it at your feet right now. And say, God, symbolically, that thing is yours now. I'm not picking it back up. I'm not taking it to my vehicle with me. It's in your ball. It's in your court right now. The ball is in your court, Lord. Can we all shout amen? Can somebody say hallelujah? Can we give the Lord a hand clap of praise? Stay with me just a moment. The biggest issue is many of you have taken control and control your spiritual destiny, and you've never surrendered that. And maybe you don't even realize it, that you've taken control. And there's a heaven to gain. There's a hell that you don't want to go to. There's an eternity. There's an end game we're living for. There's an eternity out there. And maybe you've never considered that, or you're the captain of your destiny right now. Well, today I want to challenge you to surrender that and say, Jesus, I surrender it to you. I give it to you today, and I lay it down and ask you to come in and redeem my life so I can spend the rest of eternity with you. So I can spend the rest of eternity with you. Come on, every head bowed, every eye closed. Hang with me just for a moment. I'm going to dismiss you, but every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're in this building this morning and you've never surrendered your life completely to Jesus, you've never given him everything, but you're still controlling your destiny, and you want to surrender your heart to the Lord, could you lift your hand right now to heaven and say, Hans, pray for me today because I want to surrender it all to Jesus. Just between me, you, and the Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Others, thank you. I want to give it. I relinquish control of this. Thank you. I want to have the Lord as the captain of my destiny. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Hallelujah. I want to surrender it all to Jesus right now. Give him everything right now. We're going to make this commitment. Come on, everybody praying with me. Pray this prayer with me. Pray it out loud. Pray it like you mean it. Father in heaven, I surrender control of my life, of my spiritual destiny to you. Jesus, I believe you're the Lord. Today, I make you Lord of my life. I step away from the world. I step away from the enemy. And I turn from my sin. And I turn to you. I give you control. You are now in the driver's seat. In Jesus' name I pray. And we can all say a hearty amen. And we can give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Because you know what? Hold on just a minute. You know what just happened? You know what just happened? I thought of the old Four Spiritual Laws book. You know what just happened? You've been on the throne of your life for too long. You're calling the shots. You're driving. You've been on, but you know what we did with that prayer? We got off the throne. And we let the Lord take over. And we said, now God, we enthrone you in our hearts. We enthrone you in our lives. And now I'm going to walk and live the rest of my life like that. If you pray that prayer for the first time, go to our welcome center. We have packs for new believers. It includes a New Testament. It includes other tracts of how to serve the Lord. We're not here to harass you. We're here to bless you and to see you grow in Christ. Get involved in a small group. Get involved in Living Free. Get involved in a Sunday school class. Come on Wednesday nights to Bible teaching that I do. Get involved at some level in a group where others can feed you and you can ask questions. Hallelujah. Get involved in one of our ministry teams that work so you can serve and you can use your gifts in the kingdom and all that. Hallelujah. And have a nice Mother's Day. Thank you guys for watching or listening online today. I pray this service was a great blessing to you. You know, the greatest question you'll ever be asked in your life is, are you ready to meet the Lord? Are you serving the Lord with all of your heart? You know, my main goal in preaching, my main goal in providing these online services is to see people accept Christ and come to a vibrant relationship with God. So right now, if you've never accepted him into your heart, why don't you pray this prayer with me and ask him in? It's that simple. You just say, Lord, come into my life. Be the Lord of my life. And God will make a dramatic change in your heart And let's pray this right now. If you are ready to accept the Lord into your heart, you want to ask Him in, just pray this prayer with me right now. Father, in Jesus' name, come into my life, come into my heart, be the Lord of my life. I give you all of my sin, all of my past, and I pray you wash it away and make something beautiful of my life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. If you said that prayer, I believe God has come into your life and has done something amazing in your heart. Continue to follow us online. We would love to continue to be a blessing to you and your family.